Welcome to the British History Podcast. If you love British history, then you are definitely in the right place. My name is Philippa, and I will be taking you through British history, the people, the events, the intrigue. Some of the stories you may think you know, but you don't know them in the way I tell them. And then hopefully, I will also be able to introduce you to something new too. Now, this podcast is free, and it always will be. But if you would like more History Lover benefits, then please consider coming and joining me over on Patreon at patreon.com/British History. But for now, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. I can't tell if I've got you straight, but how are you all? Welcome to Tea Time Live on a Friday, as opposed to a Thursday when we normally do it, but that's okay. So thank you for joining me if you are joining me live at this time where I don't normally go live, but also welcome if you are on the catch-up on Instagram, YouTube, or indeed listening on the podcast. Thank you for joining me. I couldn't do Thursday Tea Time Live on a Thursday this week because, well, I'll tell you a bit more about that in a moment, but I was somewhere that I was hoping would have enough signal. A historic location not too far away from me, actually, but not only was there not enough reliable signal, but I would have had to do it outside and the wind was really whipping up, so I don't think you'd have been able to hear me, so I postponed to today. So thank you ever so much for joining me. I've got a few things to go through that I want to tell you about today, because then I won't be here for a month. I won't be here for the entirety of August, but I will be back on the 2nd of September, back to the normal schedule. I'll remind you about that in a moment. So thank you everyone who's joining me. Thank you, because this is the less than usual time. And feel free to, I think if you're on Instagram, you can double tap the screen, send me a heart. Why not? If you're on YouTube, then I'm hoping you can hear me. Paranoid about this now, following a couple of weeks ago where the sound just totally failed on me. If you are on YouTube, then please give this video a thumbs up and write something in the comments. Again, on Instagram as well, please do comment. If you have something you wanted to ask, wanted me to cover, or maybe I'll say something that kicks off something in your mind that you'd like to get my thoughts on. So it is Tea Time Live, tea, because I always have a cup of tea. Well, I say always, if I've managed to get it with me before I start. So I have today. I know some of you, it's quite late at night, and others of you, it's quite early in the morning. So a beverage of your choice, please do partake. And so you can and join in with me. Whew, where should I start today? So it's been a good week. So last week, thank you for joining me last week. I know a lot of you got me on the catch up because I was at Hampton Court Palace, which was fantastic. So we had a bit of a walk around Hampton Court Palace. I did watch it back because the screen, I don't know if any of you have, if your phones do this, but maybe it's a setting, I don't know. But if it's very, very bright, my screen goes dark in somehow trying to compensate, which of course it doesn't, because it's a screen. And if it's not lit itself, then it doesn't matter how sunny it is, it's not lit. So I was trying to show you the Renaissance side of the palace, you know, the William and Mary side, and kind of I was pointing and hoping that it was looking in the right direction, or that it got enough of it, because I couldn't see. But I have looked back and I think it did capture it quite well. So if you did miss last week's and you would like to have a little look around Hampton Court where I was, then please do. I took us all the way from what they now call the Anne Boleyn Gate, which is the entrance gate, and through Base Court, through Fountain Court, Clock Court, and then on into Fountain Court, and then out into the gardens. And we had a little look around the Privy Gardens. So that was cool. That was all very nice. And that has meant, though, of course, when you have a couple of days out, that it's been a bit hectic. But that is also because I'm taking August off. And I was absolutely determined to get the 2022 tour calendar out to all the customers who have kept their money ready to go on 2022, because it's now been 2 years without touring, which is horrendous. But 2022 is going to be so cool. We've only got three tours going. There's 60 spaces tops. So I'll tell you all a bit more about those if you want in a little while, because they are super duper. I'm really, really pleased with how they're working out. But yeah, so yesterday I was at a place called Harvington Hall, and I will share a few photographs from Harvington Hall on my Instagram shortly. Actually, that is going to be, Harvington Hall is included in one of the tours next year. It is a Tudor manor house in Worcestershire, and it has seven priest hides. So it's very complete as a Tudor building for a start, which always gets people very excited. And the seven priest hides are just, it's a great place to tell the story of the Catholic, being a Catholic in Elizabethan England. I'm actually going to go and do a live from there for my patrons in September. I'll tell you more about that in a moment, to have a walk around and show everybody the house inside. So that's going to be fun. So yeah, that's where I was yesterday. Poor signal and very windy, because it's about time for me to go on holiday, which is why the weather here has changed from being gloriously sunny to not quite so. Oh well, I don't care. I'm looking forward to a break. Anyway, I'm gonna have a sip of my tea. So I'm gonna move my microphone a little bit closer for YouTube. All right, so let me tell you what's been going on. Yesterday, patrons, if you're a member of my patron, if you're royalty or monarchy, then I have done the history of Westminster and Whitehall. It's about half an hour, I would say documentary, but that might be a little bit too posh. But basically going through the history of Westminster. Why is Westminster and Whitehall now the seat of power for government in this country? And in this video that I've done for my patrons, I go through how that's happened. So where did it start? How did it start? And how did it get cemented, if you like, as that, the power base? Because it's never by accident. It might be a simple reason, but it's never by accident that these things happen. And, you know, basically Whitehall grew out of Westminster being there. What do you need to do? Indeed, yes, sorry. Yes, you can DM me on Instagram if you need to contact me directly. Sorry, just answering a question there. So you've got Westminster that's built up. And if you watch the video, then patrons, then I'll tell you exactly how come that happened. And then Whitehall, what we now have as Whitehall, built up because people needed to be near to the court, either because they supplied the court with something, or they wanted to, or they worked there, or they were, you know, influential people. So you've got York Place as a, for instance, York Place being the London residence of the Archbishop of York. Archbishop of York, 300 years later from the first Archbishop buying that house, the Archbishop of York is Thomas Wolsey. Archbishop of York under Henry VIII, also his chief minister. He falls from grace. Henry confiscates York Place, even though actually it wasn't. thank you. Someone's lurking my hair. Thank you. Thomas Wolsey falls from grace. Henry VIII confiscates York Place. It's not actually Thomas Wolsey's, but that doesn't bother Henry. And from York Place, he and Anne Boleyn, want to build Whitehall Palace, and we get the name Whitehall. And in the video as well, I go into how can we have the name Whitehall? Where did that come from? Which is interesting, because now it is the name of not only the street, which it wasn't originally, it was King Street. It's the name of the whole area, and it's synonymous with the government buildings that are there. So, you know, something will have come out of Whitehall. Whitehall will have commented, whatever, you know, they that's the kind of thing you'll hear. And it's referring to this physical place, but it's also synonymous with the government of this country. So anyway, you can tell I'm quite excited about that. I'm really proud of it. It's about half an hour long. So patrons, head over onto Patreon. You can have a look at that. I think I might also make that available to buy if anyone's interested when I come back in September, because this is my last day in. I don't know if I've mentioned it, but I'm going on holiday. I'm going to make that available for people to buy if you're interested in it for a few pounds or something. I don't know, in September. So that's quite good. That's there. Got loads coming up as well. So in August, so patrons, if you are a patron or a YouTube member, you can join me on YouTube, by the way, if you want to, and you can send me super chats, which I'm always very grateful for. Michael said the tidal Thames is a good reason for Westminster being where it is. Yes, that is. Yes, so that's one. And from that comes a lot of other things that then sequentially end up with Westminster being the place that the court is. Because before that, it was Winchester. That is the ancient capital. So anyway, it's cool. Watch the video, Michael. Yes, so patrons, though, and YouTube members, don't worry. Although I'm, everything's lined up for you for August, so you won't miss out. And the 5th of August, is that next week? Yes, is that next week? It will be, won't it? I have got a blog coming out for you all on a lady called Wortley Montagu. This lady persuaded the King, George, can't remember which George now, to have his grandchildren inoculated against smallpox. And this was way before Jenner and his smallpox vaccine. So that is a very interesting blog that is coming out for patrons next week. Oh, and then this is cool. So I was able to sit down with Dr. Owen Emerson, who used to be Castle Supervisor. Now I believe he's curator, one of the curators at Hever Castle, childhood home of Anne Boleyn. But of course, Hever Castle, like any building, we know it for maybe one person or one period out of history. But that, of course, isn't its story long and short of it. Hever Castle has a history going back, and obviously since Anne Boleyn, there's a history there at Hever Castle. Really interesting, sometimes tragic, but nevertheless interesting. And I was able to sit down with Owen Emerson and interview him about the history of Hever Castle. So that will be available to patrons and YouTube members in August, 12th of August. There was something I was going to tell you about that. It'll probably come back to me. Oh, that was it. Owen and Claire Ridgway have literally Sunday, launching their new book on the history of Hever Castle as well. So if you're interested in that, I think it's available on Amazon. So I'm going to order my copy and hopefully that will, I'm running out of time now, but that should be here. I agree, Michael. That should be here hopefully when I, before I go away. I might just get it ordered to where I'm going, but anyway. And then the live event this month for my patrons, I'm going to go around an Iron Age fort, because there's an Iron Age fort near to where I am going to be. And what I find fascinating, there's lots of things I find fascinating, but about something like about somewhere like an Iron Age fort, it's just how long they have survived. It might just be a scar in the hillside now, but it survived. We can see that it was there. And from that, we can use our imaginations to think about what was happening there and what it would have looked like. So I'm really excited about doing that. And then when I get back, so basically, if any of you who are patrons or any of you thinking about becoming a patron, you can have a look at what you get at patreon.com/British History. That's me. And I let you know in advance, 3 months, the calendar of what's going to happen. So in September, we're talking about the blog, The Execution of Margaret de la Pole. This is the one that the lady you might have heard was in her 80s when she was executed. One of the few people who were executed within the towers, at the walls of the Tower of London. The Victorians went to town on this story. So you've probably heard a less than a less than accurate story. The Victorians got very nostalgic about history, and I talk about this in my Westminster and Whitehall video, actually, because they are responsible for a lot of statues, and it just appears that they got nostalgic and decided to stick up a load of statues. I don't understand why you'd put Richard the Lionheart outside Parliament, to be honest. He ruled for less than 10 years and he was here for 6 months. He used England to bankroll his crusades. but they stuck a statue up to him. Oliver Cromwell is outside the Great Hall. Thank goodness it survived the 1812 fire. 1848, anyway, the big fire that took everything but the Great Hall and the Jewel House. They're a bit weird. Anyway, so they went to town with their storytelling as well. And Margaret de la Pole is one of those stories. Anyway, so I'm putting the record straight in the blog in September. We're going to do a virtual tour of Cleeve Abbey, which is beautiful. Cleeve Abbey is an abbey in Somerset that it's right, quite complete as abbeys go. And that's quite surprising because it's also quite rural. So where you have abbeys that were, obviously they were all dissolved. I'll tell you an interesting story about that in a minute. When the abbeys dissolved, a lot of the ones that have literally hardly anything left will be in rural places where the church wasn't made into a parish church, because a lot survived because that happened. So think places like Waltham Abbey, Tewkesbury Abbey, because they were made into parish churches, they survived. Others survived because there were still seats of bishops, Westminster, Peterborough, Worcester. Actually, was Peterborough? Anyway, yeah, no. Anyway, I'm still going to remember that one. But they became seats of bishops, so that meant that they survived. Anyway, so Cleeve Abbey to me seems a little bit of an anomaly because so much of it does survive, including, so this is the exciting bit, actual bits with roofs, right? So there's some floors, but the refectory survives. So does the dormitories. So the dormitories survive, and also the head monks. What would they actually be called? The head monks. They didn't sleep in the dormitories. They had their own little, like almost like cottages. So I will be going into those, taking you around those. So if you're in my Patreon, that is what you're going to see in September. That's going to be our little virtual tour in September. And then, like I said, I'm going to take Abbott's. That's right, Michael. Actually, the abbot had an even posher place. And that is still there as well. So it's a fab place. Fab. I can't wait to go there again and take more people, even if we're doing it virtually. That's fine. And then mid-September, like I mentioned, I'm going to be doing a live walk around from Harvington Hall. So that's all fun. And then in October, I'm doing the blog is going to be The Lost Great Houses of Henry VIII. Self-explanatory perhaps. Oh, and the interview I'm doing that month is with Kat Marchant, and we're going to be talking about Arabella Stuart, another less well-known person from history, but who was significant and whose existence was significant, etc., etc. So we're going to be doing that. And then the quarterly big event for this quarter coming is a look and a walk around Hever Castle. So if you're interested in becoming a patron, do head over to patreon.com/British History. That's the timetable that's coming up. I've also posted on there so that you can be reminded, have a look what's coming up. Plus, I think if you join, you get access to all the back catalogue as well, which if you've been following me on here, you'll know is getting to be quite extensive now. Quite proud of myself. Mm. So I was going to tell you, so this interesting story about the dissolution of the religious houses under Henry VIII also meant, and I didn't realise this till recently, some of the private, so chapels within some of the royal palaces also were not suppressed as such. I can't remember the word that was attributed to it. And it was at that point that the chapel within Westminster Palace, which was called St Stephen's, you might still hear Westminster being referred to as St Stephen's. So the chapel was used for the Houses of Commons to meet, the MPs to meet. And so they used the pulpit in the middle for the speaker, and the MPs from the oppositions, or however they were set out actually at the time, were in the choir stalls facing each other. And that is how our House of Commons is still set out, based on that original layout of St Stephen's Chapel, which was suppressed during Henry VIII's time and started to be used for the House of Commons to meet. I thought that was interesting. Again, like with Westminster itself, simple reasons for it starting, and then but it becomes cemented and it carries on. So anyway, so I've let you know what's going on in Patreon. Any of you, I know some of you have joined us on Clubhouse recently. Last Sunday we were talking about Salisbury. So we're doing in the Tudor History Club. Oh, in fact, before I go on, Clubhouse now is open to everyone. It has been for a while, but you've had to be on like a waiting list and it's invite only. It's not now. It's totally open. Michael says the only good thing today is our politicians don't believe in God. Well, some of them do, some of them don't. I wish they believed in some more basics than they, I don't know. Anyway, let's not get onto politics. But So Clubhouse, we've been going. If you follow a link in my bio on Instagram, you can find the link to join Clubhouse. And like I say, I don't think there's any. Hi, Alanda, thank you for joining. I don't think there's any. There's no wait now. So come and find me. I'm at Philippa B. And if you scroll right to the bottom of my bio, when you get in there, you will see the first two clubs are on my bio are the History and Culture Club and the Tudor History Club. And they are both clubs that I co-moderate with Dr. Sarah Morris, who's the Tudor Travel Guide, Catherine Brooks, who's the Tudor Tracker, and Kat Marchant, who is Reading the Past on YouTube. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous channel. So you can come and see us, and we have regular rooms Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Thursdays now as well, because Gail Hume has joined us from British Sovereigns and Royals. So she does a room every Thursday. But the one I was about to talk to you about is the Sunday room, which is Travelling Tudor Britain, or Travel Tudor Britain, or Tudor Britain something. I seem to rename it every time, but you get the gist. And we've been doing a self-designed summer progress. taking you to places that we want to talk about. So we've done, where have we done? I can't remember the first place we went to, but we've done the Mary Rose. We've done Salisbury. Oh, so we did Salisbury last week. Where else have we done? Oh my goodness. Oh, Winchester. And somewhere else, my brain fails me. So last Sunday, we were talking about Salisbury with its cathedral and Old Sarum, which Old Sarum it was an ancient castle, if you like. It was built just after the time of, so it was built by William the Conqueror, so probably, I don't know, in the 1080s or something like that. And it was used for a couple of centuries, and it was to hear that, to Old Sarum, that the results of the Doomsday survey were delivered to the king. And the that gave us the Doomsday Book, which I have got a copy of somewhere, but I haven't got it to hand. And this is like the first step to taxing people based on their belongings. And so it was basically a survey of what land do you have, how many cattle do you own, and everything else that was important in at that time period. And that would allow then the tax collectors to tax you based on what you had. And the results of that, like I say, were delivered to the king at Old Sarum. And Old Sarum, I actually don't know whether you say Sarum or Sarum, so I'll say Sarum. The cathedral, so Salisbury Cathedral, the original site of that was at the castle up on the hill with the castle. And now if you go up to Old Sarum, the you can see past the footprint of the old cathedral, and into the distance is the say new cathedral, built in the 13th century. So it's a great place to go. So we were talking about that, but we're taking a break from that room while I'm away and Sarah's away, so we'll be back with that room on the 5th of September, where we're going to come up into Gloucestershire and do the next leg of our self-designed progress, which is going to be fun. So that's good. Tonight, though, if anyone's around on Clubhouse, we are at 5 o'clock, so in 3.5 hours' time, we are doing a room about the ladies of Magna Carta, and we have a special guest joining us, so I'd love you to join us for that. Actually, we had a special guest on Monday as well. Matt Lewis came in to talk to us about myths around Richard III, which was really, really interesting talk. I find Richard III a very, very interesting. Well, I find everyone interesting. When you get down into it, there aren't many people who aren't interesting. But Richard III is interesting. Because his actions don't seem to go with his personality as he becomes, or after his brother dies, basically after Edward IV dies. So it was a really interesting conversation. Clubhouse, of course, is live. It is, Michael, is that a yeah, you like Richard III, Michael? Clubhouse, of course, I see there's a few of you joining on Instagram. I know you join us on Clubhouse. So Clubhouse is live. It's not recorded. We might do a little bit of recording in the future. I'm not sure. But at the moment, anyway, all of our talks are just live. So you're either there or you're square. that's the saying goes. And they're really cool. I love the Clubhouse. I love it. So now it's open to everyone. Please do come and find me on there at Philippa B. It'll be fun to see you. And of course you can contribute to the conversation if you wish while you're there. So that would be good. Let me tell you about the tour. So the 2020 didn't happen, 2021 couldn't happen. So I've looked forward to 2022, and so many I don't know if you've joined here, are committed to coming in 2022. So what I've done is those people who were going to be coming with me in 2020 or 2021, they've got the whole of August to mull over the itineraries and get their spaces secured before general release. But the tours will go on release to the Hear About Tours first, so my VIP list, and they will go out to everybody mid-September. So if you're not on that list and you would like to be, I mean, you're not compelled to obviously book, you just get the information first. And all the information will, and ability to book will go out to those people on that VIP list in mid-September. So if you're not on that list and you'd like to be, please follow the link in my bio on Instagram, or visit the website. My website's britishhistorytours.com. So you can have a look on there as well. I'm so excited. Should I tell you about them? Do you want to know about them? Let me tell you about them briefly, because some of the stuff is, there's still little bits to get confirmed. Been able to add on next year's tours, dress higher. So did you see a couple of weeks ago, I was able to dress up as a Tudor queen, which was so much fun. So I have organised with the lady, Samantha Rees, who she does the Tudor royalty experience. She is going to come along, and anyone on the tour can hire a dress, or she's got male costumes as well, can come along, and so we do an Anne Boleyn tour in May, and we spend a day at Hever Castle, and those who are on that tour are going to be able to hire, well, you can buy a dress off Sam, but hire a dress all day. So you can walk around Hever Castle all day getting photos to your heart's content in a fabulous Tudor gown, and continue if you want, if you're still comfortable, because they're not actually the most comfortable things to wear. But if anyone wants, they can carry on wearing that dress into the evening, where we eat in the great hall of Hever Castle. And then Sam will come and pick up the dress the next morning. So that's quite good. I'm really excited about that. I'm so excited to see everyone dressed up. That's going to be fabulous. So on the Anne Boleyn tour in May, we stay at Hever Castle the whole time. So we get Hever Castle to ourselves, the Astor wing of Hever Castle, we get to ourselves, which is very funky. That's very, very cool. When you stay at Hever Castle, you can walk the grounds 24 hours a day. If you want. So once the general public have gone home, or before they get in, you can go for a walk around the grounds. And people on previous tours have done that. And because they want to go and find ghosts, I was like, you go. I'll see you later. No, thank you. Michael, you want to come as a court jester? Absolutely. That'd be funny. So we get to stay in Hever Castle. I'm so excited. We go to Hampton Court Palace, and we coincide the trip to the Tower of London for the 19th of May, which any Anne Boleyn Tudor fans out there will know is the date of Anne Boleyn's execution. And then we have that evening Tracy Borman coming to speak to us at Hever Castle. So it's just going to be fabulous. I am very proud, very excited. So if you are, like I say, if you're interested in any tour information, then the best thing to do is sign up to the newsletter. It's called the Hear About Tours First newsletter, because you hear about tours first. And when you get the information, you get a whole week to book before it goes on general release. And actually, that's worthwhile doing, because they have sold out in those weeks. Some tours have actually sold out in that week, and I've not put them on general release because they were full. So it's worth doing it if you think you might have a cursory interest in doing it, perhaps in the future, perhaps not in 2022. But my co-host for that tour is going to be Gareth Russell, who I love. I've spoken about Gareth a few times, and if you're in my Patreon, you will have seen our interview. He's written multiple books. He's a fantastic historian. I actually interviewed him about his Titanic book, but he has also written, I think, the biography on Catherine Howard. He's just extremely knowledgeable. I'm so excited to have him as my co-host. So that's going to be the May one. And then in July, we're doing the Life and Times of Elizabeth I. And this one's cool because we're getting out into the Midlands. So we're going to be visiting Kenilworth Castle. This is the one we're going to be visiting, Harvington Hall. Where there's so there's a bit that I wanted to keep as a surprise, but I don't think I can because it's so good that although I'd like to keep it as a surprise, I think people who might want to book would also want to know this. And we're going to have a visit from Elizabeth I at Harvington Hall. The incredible Leslie Smith will be coming. We're going to visit Shakespeare's Stratford-upon-Avon and Hatfield House, which of course is the place where Elizabeth I found out she was Queen of England. She found out her sister had died and she was Queen. And then we'll be at Hever Castle for a night as well. So that one's exciting as well. And in September with Sarah, who's the Tudor travel guide, we're doing an On Progress with Anne Boleyn tour. So this is the Gloucestershire leg. And then we're heading to Hever for a night as well. So actually on the Elizabeth one, we get two nights at Hever. On this one, we finish off with a night at Hever, but we're going to places like Sudley Castle and Hales Abbey, Thornbury Castle, Berkeley Castle. We're going to try and get to Acton Court or Wolf Hall. Both places are a little bit unsure about what they're doing about groups next year, so we'll see. And then, like I say, ending up at Hever Castle. So there you go. All of that information will be available on the website as well as soon as it goes on general release. As soon as I'm back from holiday and I can write the web pages. But don't you think they look fun? And if you can't come, of course, then look out on social media as usual, because I will... let you know where we're at, what we're doing, and some of the exciting things that we've been doing. You'll be able to see photos and I'll share some stuff from there. I forgot what else I was going to say about that. Anyway, Michael, do you know much about Hampton Court Palace grounds before Wolsey built the palace? Did the Templars own it? Yes, I believe they owned a building there. I think it totally went for Wolsey's building, but one of the speakers that I'm hoping to get on tour actually is Jonathan Foyle, who is an architectural historian. I don't know if he described himself as an architectural historian, but he's done lots of programs about historical architecture and things like abseiling. Hi, Celia in Brazil, thank you for joining. Things like abseil down the dome at St Paul's and mad stuff like that. Oh, he did a fantastic series called Henry VIII Patron or Plunderer, where he looked at some of the buildings of Henry VIII and some of the art that he hi Marianne, welcome from California. So this series needed to look to the art, and it was a really interesting series because it shows the complexity of I go on about this a lot, but any person out of history is as complex as anyone you'll meet today. What happens when we look back is we try and summarize and we reduce their personality down to a number of explanations or descriptions of a personality, and in reality that's not ever really going to be the case. So Henry's an example because on one hand he invested in art and architecture, and on the other hand he allowed it to be destroyed. If you look at the monasteries and the inside the churches, anything that was idolatrous, etc. was destroyed. So you've got one person doing what appears to be totally opposite things. In the Westminster and Whitehall video that I was talking about earlier that I've done for patrons this month, I talk about Edward I, the Hammer of the Scots, Longshanks, this guy. One of the patrons has commented that she didn't realise that he was so in love with his wife. He was totally in love with his wife. This is the guy who put up crosses at every overnight location that her body rested on when she died just outside Lincoln. And they brought the body back in stages for her to be buried at Westminster Abbey. I'll go into that in a lot more detail in the video, but it just shows, doesn't it? They're human beings. They're not they're not just stories on a page. Marion, was Hampton Court as big in Tudor times as it is now? Footprint wise, I don't think it was that much smaller than it is now. Yeah, I mean the William and Mary Palace. I was just looking at my bookshelf, but the William and Mary Palace was sweeping through to replace the Tudor Palace, and of course it didn't. That work was never completed, which is why we have this odd. I mean, they call it the Palace of Two Halves, because you've literally got a Tudor Palace and a Renaissance Palace, and they're back to back. And there's a picture that I shared with patrons where you look out. Hi, Jenna. Where you look out the window, and you look over Fountain Court, which is part of the Renaissance Palace, and over the rooftops are the Tudor chimneys. And it's like that whenever you look, you can go to certain parts of the palace and just see Tudor. You can go to other parts of the palace and see just Renaissance, Baroque. Sorry, I keep saying Renaissance. And then you've got other parts where you can see them juxtaposed. I love that word. Hampton Court Palace is juxtaposition in architecture, as far as I'm concerned. I like it. It's a good excuse to use that word. But yeah, I think it was, I mean, it was huge. We are lucky that so much of it survives. It's fabulous. If you have a look on my Instagram as well, I shared a picture of the corridor next to the kitchens that ran from the, it runs from the kitchens, and the servers would have, used it to get to the Great Hall, but it also goes down to the Chapel Royal as well. But Hampton Court Palace, so that's the place we're going to be visiting on the Anne Boleyn tour in May next year. So that's very exciting. I don't know that there was a lot more that I was going to talk to you about today, because like I say, I'm off on my holes soon. So it's been hectic, but like I say, if you're patrons or you're a YouTube member, everything's set up. You're still going to get your blogs and videos for this month. And I will be back on the 2nd of September to do these lives. Also, if you get the newsletters, they will cease for August as well. So don't worry though, I will be back. I haven't gone too far. But in the meantime, keep an eye on my Instagram, Facebook, and I will, because I'll be there. I'll still be there posting every so often anyway, especially because I'm still going to places that I can't help, obviously. If I'm somewhere historic, I want to share it with you. So do keep an eye out. I will still be doing that. But take care of yourselves. Have a fabulous August. If you're on Clubhouse, today and you can join us at 5 o'clock, please do so, as we're talking the ladies of Magna Carta. Thank you, Marion. Thank you, Michael. Yes, I'm in a tent. It's currently raining, which is after the heat wave last week, I'm like, this isn't what was supposed to happen, but never mind. I will make the most of it. I've bought a heater. Is that really bad? I'm going camping, but I've bought a heater. Whatever works, right? Whatever I need to do. But take care. Have a fabulous August. Thank you ever so much for spending your time with me. I really do appreciate it. And I will see you all in September when I get back. All right. Bye, everybody.